All right, look in Revelation chapter 16 again. Chapter 16 again. You know, the idea of preparation, being prepared. You know, really, if you really think about it, preparation is about 99% of our success in life. A sense of readiness. The more prepared we are, the better people we are. You find people that are just not prepared. Personal success, listen to this now, is not measured in public victories, but in the value of what an individual or a team placed upon their readiness in private and how they executed that readiness in public. Just this preparation, this readiness. There's a passage in the book of Proverbs 16:1, and I'll read it, that says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." The preparations of the heart and the answer from the tongue is of the Lord. When our hearts are prepared God's way and the answer of our tongue is a result of that, that we are walking in triumph and victory as God is preparing our hearts. I'm going to give you a couple Old Testament references that we've looked at in the past and just thinking on this idea of how important it is to prepare our heart the right way, God's way. Now, hold your spot in Revelation. We're going to go look at them in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, 2 Chronicles chapter number 12, I believe it is. Look in verse number 14, Older Testament. You get to the Samuel and Kings. You come to Chronicles. We're dealing with 2 Chronicles chapter number 12. Yeah. Don't be scared. Just be prepared. Boy, I tell you what, preparation makes a world of difference. I have told our girls that often, that in times of them being prepared for certain things, that there's no need to be scared, just be prepared. Like when hurricanes and things are coming in, there's just some elements about things like that that you cannot, they're out of your control. But what's in your control is just to be prepared for it. And when you're prepared for it, there's no need to be scared. Just be prepared. And that's just how we want to approach life. And 99% of success is in the preparation. If you're prepared, you're ready. And when you're ready, readiness has a sense of giving us that wisdom that we need to walk in the knowledge we have, the prudence that we are operating in, the diligence that we are carrying. We're ready. And what we see in 2 Chronicles chapter number 12, in verse number 13, you see who we're dealing with. We're dealing with King Rehoboam. Now watch what Rehoboam did. He strengthened himself. He made himself courageous in Jerusalem. He did what he thought he needed to do to be the king over the people of God. In his efforts, he strengthened himself. But notice what he didn't do in verse number 14. Verse 14 says, "And he did evil." Now, why did he do evil? Why did he do what was not right in the eyes of the Lord? Simply because of this one thing set him up for everything else he did was going to be a failure. Because he missed the most important thing. What did he miss? Because he did not prepare his heart to do what? To seek the Lord. See, that is our responsibility. God has given us a responsibility that when we are in relation with Him, we're in fellowship with Him, He teaches us that the preparation of our heart begins when we seek the Lord. Now, Rehoboam strengthened himself, but he strengthened himself his way and not God's way. And because it wasn't God's way, everything he did had no eternal value to it because he didn't prepare his heart God's way. As a result, the preparations of his heart and the answer of his tongue wouldn't be of the Lord. It's not of God because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Now, let's look at another passage. Go a few books over to the book of Ezra. Ezra. The word preparation has the idea, Brother Shannon, of setting something up, to fix something. Stephanie and I travel all over. Y'all aware of that? We go to a lot of different places and places for a temporary amount of time. When we go there, we do not go there to set up permanent residence. We're just going to be there. We're going to lodge for a couple of days while we're working with the people there. But we have no intentions to permanently set up residence there. We just temporarily there to lodge. But when a man prepares his heart to seek the Lord, what it is saying is he's intentional. He's intentionally setting up his heart to permanently seek after the Lord in everything that he does, to seek God first. And when he does that, that is saying he's actively, intentionally, purposely, sacrificially setting himself up to seek the Lord first. And when he does that, then God begins to do a work within that man and then begins to communicate and speak for him because he's speaking in him to do what he wants. And then everything seems to fall in its proper place. You get that out of order, nothing goes right. No matter how right it looks on this side of heaven, it doesn't look right from heaven's perspective, and everything we do has no value to it. But what we find in the book of, look, chapter number 7 of the book of Ezra. Chapter number 7 in verse number 10. Notice what we find, a couple things that Ezra did in preparation of his work before the Lord. How God's hand was upon him. He gave himself to this. The scripture says in verse number 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. He gave his heart to know the Lord and the Lord's ways. He prepared his heart because he gave his all to obey what he knew, and he gave his life to teach what he embraced, what he experienced, and what he endured in life. And I want to tell you, there was a world of difference between Ezra's life and between Rehoboam's life. And there's going to be a world of difference in our life depending on how we make ourselves ready in the preparation of readying ourselves for God's work. See, knowledge and prudence and diligence equals readiness. And readiness, which is really wisdom, is going to be our strength, Brother Shannon. The more ready we are, the better prepared we are. And prepared people are usually the most peaceful and pleasant and personable people to be around. Prepared people. You might not be prepared in every facet of your life. How many of y'all prepared for everything in life? Every level of dynamic, meaning your house may not be as prepared as another person's house. Your finances might not be prepared as another person's finances. Your spiritual life might not necessarily be as prepared as somebody else's. But whatever areas in our life that is most prepared, what we're going to find in those areas is a sense of peace, a sense of pleasantness, and being personable. We're ready. People that are free givers, that like to bless people, have prepared themselves to be able to do that. And they can give with liberty and cheerfulness and joy. But some of us have got ourselves in a position where we can't just do that. So we're hesitant in doing that. We don't do it peacefully and we don't do it pleasantly or personably because we're not in position to do it because we hadn't prepared ourselves to do it. And a lot of times people want to invite people into their homes because they don't think their home's prepared enough for guests to come in. And we don't do anything that we're to do to impress people. We want to be a blessing to people. And when we are blessing the people, it's because we prepared our hearts to bless them. And we can do it peacefully, pleasantly, and personably. Same way with folks that have been spending time and seeking God's face. And like Ezra. Ezra would be a man of peace, a man that had a sense of pleasantness about him, and he was personable. Why? Because he was filled with the revelation of God. And there was nothing that was going to intimidate him or threaten him when people had troubles and conflict and stuff going on. He was able to be a blessing to people. He was ready to bless people because he was at peace with where he was at in his walk. He was seeking God and he was walking with him. So people wasn't a threat to him. Questions wasn't a threat to him. Life wasn't a threat to him because he was walking with the solutions in life. And therefore, you can be peaceful. You can be pleasant and you can be personable with people. But you ever get around somebody that has a sense of threat when somebody has a question, like biblical questions, for an example? You ever get around somebody and say, I don't want to talk about religion and I don't want to talk about, you know, that idea. That's just an old saying you hear people refer to. But, you know, if we are a believer, we can't get away from talking about our religion. Amen. And when I say religion, I'm saying our relationship with the Lord and what that means to us. And we can do it with confidence. We can do it with conviction. We can do it with compassion. We can do it with courage. Why? Because we're prepared. Our heart's prepared for it. We don't have to have every answer. Amen. We don't have to have every solution. But we can point people to Him who has answers and how we found answers with Him. Why? Because our hearts have been readied. They've been prepared. And we want to be prepared in this life. Why? Because being prepared and ready is setting us up for the triumph and the victory of whatever life has to throw at us. And this old life will throw you some curveballs. Amen. People in this world will attempt to manipulate you and overthrow you. And we know that, hey, our battle's not against people, is it? Where's the battle at? Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against what? The spiritual host of wickedness, darkness, this spiritual wickedness that we're battling, strongholds, mindsets, vain imaginations. That's what we're dealing with, not with somebody. Somebody's just believed a lie. And they have a stronghold that's got a grip on them, and we're not fighting against them. We're fighting against the way they think and why they think the way they think. But we have a solution and a power that's able to what? Destroy that stronghold or that vain imagination that can overthrow it like it overthrew it in our life when somebody encountered us with the truth or the revelation of God. And you got to be prepared for that. Amen. You don't have to shy away from it. And I'm not threatened by it. Why? Is God's wisdom ever threatened by anything? Not at all. And if I'm operating in His wisdom, it won't be threatening me either when I have to deal with the tough things of life. I may not have the solution on hand at the time, but I believe I can find a solution. I believe I can seek a solution from the Lord. I believe we can seek answers from Him. I can find somebody that might have an answer that can deal with this particular issue. And we can work with people to help try to break down those strongholds. But I've got to be prepared for it. Yeah. I've got to be readied. And that responsibility belongs to me. To me. Stephanie and I were gifted by some of our kind church members to go to a cooking class last week. And man, it was fun. I hope we could all go eventually. We've been talking about it, that maybe we can go as a group over there. And I think it'd be a neat experience for us to go and do. But we went and showed up Wednesday evening, right around 6 o'clock, Livingston, Mississippi, right near Flora. Pulled up to this little community, nice place, not everything about it just looked great. Walked in. Those folks were just waiting on us to get on in there. They had aprons already set up. Steph and I walked on in and said, look, there's some aprons there. You can just leave your purse right here. It's just us in here tonight. Here's an apron. Y'all go over there and wash your hands. There's some hors d'oeuvres already out on the table for you. And there's plenty to drink. Whatever you want to drink, you just make yourself at home and we'll get started here shortly. We went through that and people mingled with one another. There was about 24 of us in the class, so that's about 12 couples apiece. And we got to meet some interesting people, some people we have never met before. But they get us all set up at the table and the chef, Wolf, begins to talk and he shares with us of what they've been doing in preparation for us to come. He said, last night, I shucked about 100 oysters. Already had them done. It would have taken us a while. And some people wouldn't have been able to shuck oysters. That would also have been a little dangerous for some that's never done it before. It could have been a sliced hand. And even people that do it on a regular basis, a lot of times wear gloves just to be on the safe side so that old knife don't slip, Danny, and get you in the thumb. You know what I'm talking about? So he had prepared for us to come. And not only that, but they had all the supplies there. They had all the cooking utensils there. They had everything. There was not one thing that wasn't prepared in advance for us to get there. We made Mississippi mud pie. Now, we didn't actually make the pie crust. We didn't make the filling. That would have taken a little bit longer. So in advance, they set all that up and had it done, but we made the mousse and made the topping that went on it, a whipped topping. They had all that prepared and went through the instructions, had recipes laid out. Everything was prepared in advance. We had filet mignon that we cooked on the grill that night. We had oyster Rockefellers. So we had the mix already made to put on the oysters, to put on the grill, but we put them on the grill. We grilled them, took them off, set them up, plated them, kept them warm. They've already pre-boiled some potatoes and they had a potato mincer. And I hear you got one. That thing's pretty cool. A potato ricer, I think is what it's called. Y'all, anybody else got a potato ricer? Well, if you don't, used to have one, Mama Rob? Oh, man, y'all need one. Miss Barbara can demonstrate it, bring it up here and show it to you one day. But that was a pretty cool too. That was one of the takeaways that we'll probably get ourselves. And what it is, they had boiled the potatoes, had them sitting on the stove in a big pot, and they were already peeled just in there. And this potato ricer is a cup, say about this big, about that deep, and you can put a potato or two inside of it, and it looks just like a garlic press where you will press garlic and your garlic comes out your bottom of your hose. That's exactly what you do with a potato. And it comes out like garlic in the bottom and you just mince all that down and then you add your butter to it, add your half and half to it, fold it, and then just let it sit over a little boiling water in the pot so it stays warm and all that kind of meets together. You don't have to whip it or nothing. I'm telling you, just as creamy as can be, no lumps, no nothing. I mean, just creamy, creamy, creamy potatoes. Very good. You add your salt to it, pepper it, however you want to do it to taste. It was great. The guy come out and said, how you want your steak cooked? You want it rare, medium, medium well. Well done. He got all the orders on that, went back, cut the filet mignons to the thickness of what you wanted it, put them all on the grill at the same time, took them all off the grill at the same time. Now, what I'm saying in all this is that had we showed up and none of that had been prepared in advance, that would have been a waste of time and a waste of resources. But they were well prepared for it, for us getting there. We want to be well prepared for the coming of the Lord. That's what Revelation 16. Look back in Revelation 16 says. Talking about ordering 200 pieces of chicken. What is that? What is all that? We want to be ready, prepared for when folks show up next Sunday. We don't want to be caught off guard and not prepared for it. Inviting folks to come and not be ready for them when they get here. Amen?
Amen.
Well, this all applies. This is the saying the same thing. Revelation 16:15 says, behold, you got to see this by faith. It's happening. I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments for fear. He walked naked and they see his shame. I come like a thief. Now, the imagery we find in various places. This is not the first time we find Jesus saying that. He said this in chapter number, look in Revelation chapter number 3, I believe it is. Look in 3:11. 3:11 of Revelation says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your what? There's a crown to be gained in this idea of him coming quickly. Now, John mentioned it in chapter 1. Notice what he says in chapter 1, verse number 7. Now, what verse number 7 of chapter 1 is John himself, after he had received this revelation. Remember, he is now writing to the seven churches. This is his introduction, Brother Shannon, in the first part of chapter number 1. Where he's introducing them to say this, verse number 7, behold, he, Jesus, is coming with the clouds, and everyone will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, what? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus is coming. He's coming. Just as sure as he came, he is coming. And he's also going to mention it in chapter number 22. Look in chapter number 22. Look in verse number 12. And verse number 12. And behold, Jesus says, I am coming what? Quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He had the first word over us, and he's going to have the final word. Amen?
Amen?
He is the Alpha and the Omega, and he is coming quickly. Now, let's look at a couple thought process that we find in the Scriptures. We want to be prepared for his coming. We want to be watching for his coming. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Let's see if we can pick this thought up. Matthew 24. Look, if you would, in around verse number 36. We'll start there. All this fits together. We can start really anywhere. But verse 36 says, but of that day and hour of what we're reading about right now in Revelation. This is what all this is about in Matthew 24. That same time frame. He says in verse number 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. I think we've read about that in Revelation, don't you think? Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a what? Of a trumpet, verse 31, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. And all God's people say it. Oh, man, don't you know that he knows who he knows? Amen. Verse 32, now learn the parable from the fig tree when its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves. You know this is a sign that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things that I've mentioned, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, the generation that is living at that time will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Remember, he says that in Revelation, there's going to be a generation of people who want to die but can't die. They're going to want the rocks to fall on them because if it's so bad and so painful, but death's going to flee from them. This particular generation living at that time frame in this 7-year period that he's referring to, are going to see all these events take place before the coming of the Lord. He says in verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. You can rest on the word of God. Everything else is going to burn up. Everything else is going to come to nothing. But whatever is built and placed upon the word of God, whatever is rooted in the word, it will endure. It'll last. Go on to read. He says in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, what does that mean? They were eating, drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. That is simply saying life went on as usual. That's normal. Life in this world went on as usual. That's how it went for Noah in his day. And then God put him in the ark, and what happened when he sealed the door? It started to rain. It started to rain. The same thing is going to happen in these days. Verse 39, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. And what's the commandment? What's our word? What do we do in this? Verse 42 of chapter 24. Watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master, the homeowner of the house, had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. No thief broadcasts when he's coming. He doesn't tell them. The whole point of thievery is the element of surprise, the unawareness. A thief comes under the cover of darkness when you don't expect him to come, when you're not looking for him to come, when you're not what? When you're not prepared for him to come. But if the owner of a home, if a dad knew that he was coming, what is that dad going to do? He's going to be prepared for him. He's going to be waiting on him. And when he comes, he's definitely not going to let him take anything out of his house. He's going to be ready. The image here, let's read a little bit further, verse number 44. Therefore, you also be what? Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Go to Luke 12 real quick. Luke 12. We're just looking at a few passages of when Jesus said, behold, I come as a thief. As a thief, when you don't expect me to come. Verse 22, let's just start there. This is part of that preparation of being ready. Preparing for his coming, watching. Verse 22 of Luke 12 says, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What does he mean? Worry. Do not take thought. Do not overly think about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on it, about clothes. Life is more than what? Food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn. God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And all God's people said, man, we are. And which of you, if you worried or took thought about your life or about your size, how tall you are, the life length to it, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? You can worry all day long and give it the thought and think about it, and you're not going to grow any more than what you already. Are you with me? It ain't going to happen. You can put all the mental thought into it that you want. You know that power positive thinking, That if you think it, you can have it. If you believe that it, you can have it. He says, okay. Well, if that be the case, I want you to grow a good 4 or 5 inches then. Grow 6 inches. Grow another foot. Danny, how about it? You probably wouldn't mind growing another foot, huh? You'd take it if it, huh? But worrying about it, the positive power of thinking ain't going to make it happen, right? It just ain't going to happen. Now, we could try to stretch you. Verse 26, if then you are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? So he just said, feeding and clothing is the least of things. And that's not something that you're able to do. It's least with God to form us into the people that we are. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven and in a furnace to create a fire for fuel to heat, to cook with, that type of thing, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. That's their chief aim in business. And your Father knows already that you need these things. It's not something that you don't need, but it's not something that we're to be worried about. Verse 31, what do we do? What do we prepare our heart to do? But seek the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. Let's look down, jump if you would, verse 35. This being the case, this is part of the watching. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, he will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, blessed are those servants. The idea of letting him be girded around his waist with a towel ready to serve his master when he comes in the door. The master may tarry his return. He may got caught up and he couldn't make it home when he said he was going to be coming. But you were waiting on him because the master never, never lets you down. When he says he's going to do something, he does it. You know he's coming. So if he don't come in the first watch, something's going on that he'll eventually make it home. My lamps are burning, waiting for him to come in. So when he comes in the house, he's not coming in the house to find me sleeping in the bed. He's not finding me with the lights out. He's not finding me in my undergarments. No, my waist is girded. I'm ready. So when the master comes through the door, I'm ready to serve the master when he shows up.
Amen.
He says, how blessed is that man when the master sees it? The master will make that man ruler over all he has. Why? Y'all that have been in business and know how valuable is a good steward of a good manager that takes care of the stuff that you have that belong to you that you've entrusted to them to manage and see. What do you do for them when they do what they've been called to do or been asked to do and they do it well and they do it with your looking at your benefit and blessing you and prospering you in what they do. I mean, you entrust more and more. You pay them better. You take care of them. You treat them better. You honor them. And that's simply what he's saying is that we need to be watching, girded around the waist, ready to serve the master. He can come at any time. And we want to be found in his service. Amen. When he comes, watching. He says in verse number 39, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, not allowed his house to be broken into." Verse 40, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not what?" So look, when Jesus said that in Revelation, He wants us to go back and look at this idea that He introduced to us in His Gospels that went back to the idea that thieves come unexpectedly and the homeowner, the master of the house, is always waiting when he knows, or if he knows that the thief is coming, he's going to be prepared for him. And he ain't letting his stuff be taken. Amen? Amen. Simply prepared for his coming. Watching. Watching. Well, look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Y'all know I got about 2 more hours worth of stuff, all right? We'll have to finish it maybe Wednesday night, Lord willing. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as what? A thief in the night. For when the world around us is living as usual, in proclaiming peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman." A woman can't predict when she's going in labor. If she goes in labor, it happens. "And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, who are ready and prepared, are not in the darkness like the rest of the world, so that this day should not overtake you as what? A thief." You're ready. You're prepared. You've readied yourself. "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. For God didn't appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing." All that is all pointing to the picture is that we need to be prepared for His coming, watching for it, ready for it, prepared for when He returns, and that we're not caught off guard. Amen? Now, like I said, we'll have to finish up because I got too much to jump into to continue on with just trying to rush through it. I think it what we're going to look at is not only being prepared for His coming, but we're going to take a look at also as being prepared for His calling upon our life. See, being prepared for His coming is also being prepared for His calling upon our life. Those servants had a calling and an assignment given to them by the master, and had they not girded themselves with their shoes on their feet, ready to serve Him with their lamps burning, they would not have been in their calling or their assignment as they watched for His return. They would have neglected that. You see, so being prepared for His coming is being prepared for His calling upon our life. And it's all intimately connected together. And that's what we want to see is, well, how then do we prepare ourselves for His calling? What do we need to do? And the Word gives us some clarity on that, of keeping ourselves in the love of God, building ourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and looking unto the mercy unto the Lord. And we'll talk more about that on Lord willing, on Wednesday night. Amen? Amen? We'll just keep it going and just remember that 99% of our success in the kingdom of God is going to be our readiness, preparing our hearts. A prepared person is a person who rests in peace, pleasant, personable. I want to tell you, Jesus was prepared for what he did. And he was personable. He was approachable. People could access him, attain to him, because he wasn't threatened by anything. He is prepared for what he was doing. We need to be prepared. Amen.
Amen.
Be prepared. Father, we thank you tonight and bless you. Ask you to help us with these things that would we, as we make ready ourselves for you, will mean that we're going to make ready ourselves for what you set us apart to do on this earth, which will include serving one another as we serve you. Being ready to be a blessing to our brethren and doing what you've set us apart to do in this world that you left us in to represent you in it, and also to be a blessing to those that we come in contact with, those that are part of our family and those that are acquaintances and those that we just meet in the highways and the byways of life. We want to be ready. We want to be ready when we meet those divine appointments for your glory. We're thankful, grateful, hopeful, and I pray that you will continue to make us faithful in the kingdom of what you called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love y'all. Love y'all. Love y'all.